Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Sibanda.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored in the South.
Fantastic, man. I'm blessed as well. Thank God for life and thank God for opportunities as such as this to be able to speak about these things that are happening this side of heaven.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, sir.
Now, Senator, so we spoke last week about, customary marriages. And I want to contrast this with, COP, community of property, because in community of property, both spouses have equal ownership of assets, as it were, that are acquired during the marriage. Now, let's talk about if and how this applies in customary marriages and, of course, discuss the dissolution of customary marriages as well. So please do give us the breakdown of the application of how the assets and stuff like that in the customary marriage. Does it work the same? Does it work differently? How does it work, et cetera, et cetera?
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the questions. A customary marriage, by default, a monogamous customary marriage, by default, is a marriage in community of property. This is in terms of Section 7, subsection 2.
I see.
Of the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unless the parties enter into what is called the prenuptial agreement,
mm-hmm.
To exclude the patrimonial consequences of community of property.
Mm-hmm.
By default, a customary marriage becomes a marriage in community of property.
Oh, okay. And then in terms of its dissolution, then, do the same rules apply for a customary marriage?
Right. Before we get to the issue of a dissolution, I just want to take us a little bit back.
That's
because
fine.
There's one particular aspect that we did not cover, during the discussion that we had last week.
Right.
All right. So it is very essential to note that once a customary marriage has been entered into, that in terms of Section 4, subsection 3 of the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act,
mm-hmm.
the marriage must be registered.
Okay.
Right. So remember when we spoke last week, we said there's a distinction between marriages that were entered into before and marriages that were entered into after the commencement of the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act.
Yes, yes, yes.
So Section 4, subsection 3 provides that any marriage that was entered into prior to the Act must be registered within 12 months.
So, hang on, before you continue. So, if I got married, customary marriage, before its recognition, and
yes.
I'm in this thing, let's say, for 15, I'm 15 years in now, and then
yes.
At the point of recognition, I must then go and register it within 12
yes,
months.
Yes, you must actually register the marriage. In other words, at that point, you would have been given 12 months. But the minister or the registrar at this point in time may allow whatever extended amount of time to register that particular marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that because you've missed the 12-month period, then you can no longer register the marriage. You can still register the marriage, even if you've been married customarily for 15 years, you can still register the marriage. And if that marriage was entered into prior to the recognition of the customary marriages, it is actually essential, obviously, that you must register that particular marriage.
You know, Cindy, so sorry, before you continue, man, a couple living in Kwamhlabuyalingana who has been married for 32 years,
yes.
customarily, never heard about this registration that needs to be happening and all of that. And they continue way after the recognition, literally just living their lives and not bothered by anything. But does it mean that that marriage now is not recognized anymore?
No, remember, we still go back to the recognition of the customary marriages. Remember, now marriages are governed in terms of the recognition of customary marriages act, regardless of when the marriage was entered into.
I see.
Because the act has come into being. So we then go back to Section 3 and check have they met the requirements of entering into the marriage? In other words, at the time of entering into the marriage, were the parties above the age of 18? If the parties were not above the age of 18, was there consent from the parents of those of the parties? Was the marriage negotiated and entered into and celebrated or celebrated in terms of customary law? Those are the things that we then go back and look at and say, have they fulfilled the requirements in terms of Section 3, subsection 1B and subsection 1A of the Act?
I see.
Those were fulfilled, then they can go ahead and register the marriage.
I see.
Also, bearing in mind, Zama, that when registering a marriage, the registering officer must satisfy themselves that a valid marriage was entered into. So when they approach the registering officer, they will approach the registering officer with the necessary detail to satisfy the registering officer that indeed a marriage has come into being, or a marriage did come into being 32 years ago, and because the parties had not known that they need to register that particular marriage, and it has only come to their knowledge now that somebody was listening to Cindy Soy and Zama over the radio, and they've now notified this couple that, oh, by the way, do you know that you can register your marriage regardless of the fact that you have been married for a period of over 32 years? They can still go and get their marriage registered.
Lovely, lovely. Oh, great stuff, man. Great stuff. All right, sorry, man, to disturb your thought there. You were still going on some points there?
Yes. I was still discussing the issue of the registering officer, what the registering officer must satisfy themselves about, would be the requirements that we outlined when we had the discussion last week, that the parties at the time were above the age and the marriage was negotiated and entered into in terms of customary law and so on and so forth. So those are the things that they need to use to convince obviously the registering officer that there was indeed a marriage. And the second part, any marriage that was entered into after the commencement of the act must be registered. In other words, anyone now in 2024 who decides to enter into a customary marriage, after they have entered into the customary marriage, they must register their marriage within 3 months or any such period. The Act stipulates that it must be within 3 months. But obviously, people sometimes don't go ahead and do it. The registering officer or the registrar still allows for the registration of such marriage at any given time after the marriage has been entered into, and still you must satisfy the registering officer that a valid marriage did come into being. And not only that, Zama, quite interestingly, even after one of the parties has been deceased, you can actually go ahead and still register that that marriage, as long as you can prove, as long as the families can prove that a valid marriage did come into being.
Wow. All right. Now, Mr. Sibanda, I want to check with you. Can someone then be in a customary marriage and a civil marriage simultaneously?
Unfortunately, the Act does not allow for that. Right. Section 3, subsection 4 of the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act actually proscribes that particular situation where a party is in a civil marriage and a customary marriage. However, a person can be in a polygamous customary marriage, because a customary marriage by its nature can be monogamous or polygamous. So a party can enter into two customary marriages. However, that party cannot enter into a civil marriage, for instance.
So if a person is married, civil marriage, a male person, and later on they then want to take another wife, and they say, no, this one, because I'm already married, is civil, I'll take this one in a traditional manner. Would that not be a customary marriage, and would that not be happening simultaneously?
That marriage would not be recognized, and obviously in terms of section 3 subsection 4, that marriage, the subsequent marriage, would not be recognized. However, if the inverse was true, where that person was in a customary marriage and they intend to enter into a subsequent customary marriage, then they can enter into a subsequent customary marriage.
Ah, okay. All right. And in terms of dissolution?
Right. This is actually very, very contentious. Interesting and contentious. Contentious, right. Now, the dissolution of customary marriages, right, in terms of the recognition of Customary Marriages Act, remember we said that this customary marriage must then be registered. And a customary marriage can then be dissolved by a decree of divorce. Okay. In other words, the parties now need to approach the court, and then they seek an order to dissolve that particular marriage in the event that they want that marriage to be dissolved. So they have to approach a court, and if the marriage was not registered, the first thing that they would need to do is they would need to prove that there was a marriage. In other words, all the requirements for a valid marriage were satisfied, and the court must be satisfied that indeed a marriage did come into being, a customary marriage did come into being, and then a decree of divorce can then be issued.
Oh, okay. Interesting. And then all the other processes, as similar to those of community of property, will then ensue.
Yes, all those other proprietary consequences. Then, like we said, it is a marriage. It's a marriage in community of property, unless the parties have entered into an antenuptial agreement. Then the patrimonial consequences or proprietary consequences will then will then be valid at that particular point. So basically what happens is that the property of the parties is split between the parties 50-50. Right. Another interesting thing, Zama, is the question that you are asking in relation to can a party enter into a customary a subsequent customary marriage, in other words, a polygamous marriage.
Yes, yes.
A husband intending to enter into a polygamous marriage must make an application, to the court, so that the court can grant give him an order that will determine the patrimonial consequences of that polygamous marriage. So you must apply to the court to get a written contract that will regulate the matrimonial consequences of that particular marriage. And this is in terms of Section 7, I think subsection 6 of the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act.
Mm. All right, I want to let you go on this one, but before we do so, here's a person or couple looking at getting married, and they are looking at, they've probably been hearing us talking about customary marriages, and they do know that there's other options that they have. Why would they choose customary marriages over the others? Is there any benefit, or it is just something that's obsolete, just trying to accommodate other people who are already in it?
There are quite a number of benefits, I suppose. One being the fact that people may want to stick to their particular culture, right? Mm. If you're sticking to your culture, then you don't need to have a civil marriage, because a civil marriage is foreign, mostly in the African culture. Because the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act came into being, it pitted the civil marriage with the customary marriage. In other words, they are in equal; they are recognized as equal marriages. So, in other words, one need not enter into a subsequent civil marriage once they have entered into a customary marriage. So that. What then happens there is obviously there are costs that are saved. Mm-hmm. People will not be spending on what we colloquially term as a white wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be sufficient. It would be sufficient to enter into a customary marriage and know that that customary marriage is recognized. The patrimonial consequences are the same with a civil marriage. You can also enter into an antenuptial contract when you're entering into a customary marriage. So mostly it would be an identity thing. For instance, if you want to stick to your tradition, you want to identify with your culture, that would be an advantage. A cost-saving mechanism, that would be also an advantage, as well as the fact that you can regulate your patrimonial or matrimonial consequences within the customary marriage.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Mr. Sindhu Susbanda, thank you so much. I think you're explaining this thing so eloquently and so clearly, quite succinctly as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Zama.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.